You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
There's not one media report that has any footage showing Muslims celebrating in Jersey City after the towers fell. Ford says it's recalling about 450,000 Fusions and Mercury Milans because of a potential fuel tank issue. The recall involves cars from 2010 and 2011 model years. The automaker says the problem with the fuel tank could cause it to leak. Ford says it's unaware of any accidents or injuries linked to the issue. More than a dozen people are recovering after taking a bad batch of synthetic marijuana in San Diego. Police say most of the victims were young people, including a 13-year-old. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Americans plan to spend 25% more over Thanksgiving weekend than they did last year. A new survey from Deloitte shows Americans plan to spend $369 during the biggest shopping weekend of the year. Over half the people surveyed will be shopping this weekend, and most of them will do their shopping online. Fewer than 15% will be heading to the stores on Thanksgiving Day, but almost a quarter of shoppers will be shopping online. Speaking of that, Walmart is starting the busiest online shopping day of the year a little early. The world's biggest retailer will make all of its Cyber Monday deals available next Sunday night. Traditionally, merchants roll out their online deals in the early hours of the Monday after Thanksgiving. One Arizona man isn't taking any chances on waiting in long lines this Black Friday. Jarvis Johnson has already made camp outside of a Best Buy store near Phoenix.
They got great deals on Black Friday, and I want to be number one in line, which I am number one already.
He says he's been camping out for Black Friday deals for nearly 10 years. Johnson has a TV, a microwave, and a bed inside his tent next to the store. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg will be taking advantage of his company's policy of paid paternity leave. Zuckerberg's decision to take 2 months off after his daughter's birth is seen as a symbolic move in Silicon Valley. A Boston College survey last year found that most men want to spend as much time as their wives caring for their children, but can't because they don't take as much parental leave as women do. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The weather this afternoon is going to be scattered flurries before 3 p.m., sunny with a high near 41, northwest winds 8 to 11 miles per hour. Tonight it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 25, northwest winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming light and variable after midnight. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming gradually becoming sunny with a high near 48. Calm winds becoming west around 6 miles an hour, and Tuesday night it'll be mostly clear with a low around 25. Wednesday is going to be sunny with a high near 52, light and variable winds. Wednesday night, patchy fog, otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 29. And Thanksgiving Day, patchy fog before 8 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 58. And Thursday, Thanksgiving night, will be patchy fog after 2 a.m. And otherwise, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 40.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Visit njweightlossgroup.com to schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so call 855-464-THIN. That's 855-464-THIN. Or visit njweightlossgroup.com. That's njweightlossgroup.com. They can't wait to see you look great.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we are all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses, and as someone told me not too long ago, the commute is great when you work out of your houses. So, you know, from like the living room to the kitchen, that sort of thing. What we try to do is help families who have someone, it could be a blood relative, it could be a son, a daughter, aunt, uncle, mother, father, or next-door neighbor or somebody they work with who has a mental health issue. And we try to help them understand more what that person is going through and how to help them. And sometimes what to do and what not to do. We do this by teaching classes. We have a class that we call Family to Family, which is 12 weeks, and it does everything from medications, side effects, situations that you may run into and what to do and what not to do. We also have support group that we do for families. We have a program called Educating the Educators, because in this economy, a lot of times, both the husband and wife are working, and the teachers may be the ones spending more time with the kids than the parents because of the economic situation. We also have a course for law enforcement, which sort of helps police officers when they get a call to an address that has somebody there that has a mental health issue who's maybe gone over the edge a little bit, and how to deal with it. It's something that they call a crisis intervention training, which I have taken and I passed, thank God. but it also is mainly, you know, for police officers, but they wanted family members there also so that we could interact with the police officers. Everything we do is free. There's no charge. And if you like to reach out and get a hold of us, or you need a question or just to ask a question, our phone number is 908-285-0500. And we don't monitor it 24/7. We have somebody that checks it at least twice a day, so we promise we will get back to you. We are very privileged today to have with us Leslie Gable, who's the co-executive director of Hunterdon Prevention Resources. Are you still the project director for Safe Communities?
I am.
You're also the project director for Safe Communities Coalition.
Keeps me busy.
Yeah, exactly. And just got finished with a hip operation, so that kept you busy too.
It did. It did.
And we also have with us Amy Menes. Did I say it right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Who is with the Safe Community Coalition and does outreach and was a volunteer and now is working there. Hey, got that right, too. Okay.
You're doing well today.
Yeah, how about that? I remember what you said.
There you go.
You might want to pull that mic just a little bit closer to you.
Thank you.
You know. So there you go. People want to hear you anyway, you know. Leslie, you, with other chamber members, year, 2 years ago, were instrumental in getting drop boxes set up for RX drugs that were no longer used. How is that going, and are there any new locations that you want to mention?
We actually have 6 locations now.
In Hunterdon County?
In Hunterdon County, but I think it's also important. A lot of people might work in Hunterdon County and live in other and vice versa. Right. So if you go to our website, which is the Safe Communities Coalition, safecoalition.org, and then click on the prescription bill, and you click on that, you'll get all the locations, but we also provide links to, you can find locations anywhere actually across the state. What's really good about these programs, though, too, Larry, is we don't just, as we have 6 strategic locations around this, our county, we also do additional take back events where other local police departments will volunteer and open up to make it as accessible as possible. So that happens a few times a year. The DEA, we just had one, I believe it was the end of September, was the last, where we opened up additional locations for the day.
Okay.
I think the other thing that's really important that we've learned about our prescription drop-off boxes, we've been collecting a lot of drugs. And that's really the goal, is to decrease the accessibility, because people get these drugs, especially the opiates, which is most sought after, from people's home medicine cabinets. That's really where the abuse starts. Approximately 70% of young teens will start in that manner. But while we've been collecting a lot and really a tremendous amount across the United States, one of the things we recently followed up with is looking to see, do our residents know about these drop-off boxes? And we have, you know, for years, right? We're constantly talking about it. We talk about it on the radio. We have newspaper articles. We send out, we do public service announcements. We're out in the community handing out all this information at many different venues, but still not enough people know about it. It's frustrating for us because we're looking and trying to creatively come up with different ways to inform the community how important it is not to hold on to these medicines. So I ask any of the audience, if you have any ideas, you know, please reach out to us at our agency, because we really need to get these drugs out of people's homes and into these disposable boxes. So if anybody would like to reach out, our phone number at our office is 908-782-3909, and please help us. We really can't ask enough of our citizens to help dispose of these medicines.
Real quick, the 6 locations for the drop boxes, are they open all the time? Or you have to make an appointment to drop them off?
You don't need an appointment. They just need to be the hours of the operations. And each one of them vary depending on the locations. For example, there's one out in Frenchtown. There's one in Reddington. And these, by the way, are all in police departments.
Okay.
They're at their locations. Mm-hmm. Holland, Tewksbury. I'm gonna miss one out. But also here in downtown Flemington at the courthouse. Right. So it's the hours of the court. So if it's closed on a holiday, it would be closed on those holidays. But just to mention about the courthouse, a lot of people, I've heard some of their feedback is like, oh, well, Leslie, it's hard to park in Flemington. Well, there's right in front of the courthouse, there's a 10-minute waiting zone. You're allowed to park right there. You walk right in. The drop-off box, you don't have to go through security, is right there. You can just drop them right into the box and go right back to your car. So you don't need to walk far at all. And I think what's really phenomenal is our sheriff's department has told any resident, especially those that might be homebound, if they can't get out of their home, is to please give them a call. They're happy to come get the prescriptions from them and dispose of them safely. Our sheriff department also goes to senior citizen centers at different points of the month. We've also done some take back events at different faith locations. Like I said, we really have tried so many different ways. And recently, actually, at the chamber, at the business expo, we took a survey. And the majority of people still do not know about these boxes. And that's kind of, you know, where we said, and we also looked at back-to-school nights. You know, some of the issues become is it has to be really by law enforcement. You and I can't go to someone's house and help them out and collect their drugs because we're not in possession. We don't have that legal right. Mm-hmm. And really for the safety and security of people's privacies as well as the community, because as I mentioned, these drugs are dangerous. They really need to be handled
Have you ever seen the commercials where they they show that, you know, a guy or a woman going to the medicine cabinet?
You it's know, a great commercial.
It is. I thought it was awesome the first time I saw it. I've seen it numerous times since, but, you know, and on the other side could be a guy or a girl, and they're doing the same. They're taking the drugs, you know, from the medicine cabinet, you know.
And
it's, you know.
I will tell you, you know, it just as Amy and I are in prevention, and, you know, we go to training programs just like any other person in their job would be, and you read on the internet newspaper articles about where people get these drugs, you know, from and how it happens. I will tell you, I've recently spent quite some time with people who are in recovery. And when you talk with people in recovery here in Hunterdon County, and they tell you face-to-face that this is truly how they're getting these drugs. It'll be people, whether they work in someone else's homes, to, you know, a visitor in someone's home. And, you know, I will emphasize that these people have a serious problem. They have an addiction. And I think the area that really, really kind of becomes a difficult area of contention, where people in our community don't understand it about being a disease, that addiction is a disease, is while the decision might have been a choice to start it, once that disease takes over, it's very...
No choice
then anymore.
No
choice.
Right.
It's not a choice anymore. And so they, you know, really some people in the community have said, I don't like it when you're calling it a disease, like, you know, like cancer or diabetes and these, well, and lung, right? Some of those all happen to do with some of the things that people, you know, for example, you know, with tobacco, right? That leads to lung cancer, but there's... that not that stigma the way it is around addiction. And again, when you spend a lot of time in the work that Amy and I do, we really start to understand when they tell you that they did not want to harm their families, and it really is so powerful. It wasn't about loving people enough to stop. It really becomes, and that addiction pattern for you and I, or for Amy, just in our genetics, can be, the blueprint is so different.
Sure.
I remember listening to a young girl tell me who is an alcoholic, and she's 19 years old, and she says, I've understood for the rest of my life, my brain will never understand how someone can leave a beer or a wine or whatever drink half empty. She said, my brain doesn't work that way. It never will.
That's right.
I thought that was, you know, whereas, for example, I can do that, but it is so many different things that make up those decisions.
I can, because I don't drink at all anything anymore.
Well,
but
yeah.
But you know, so, it's no different with that than I have an addictive personality.
Mm-hmm.
I always have.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't smoked in 25 years now.
Oh, good for you.
But if someone lights a Marlboro up, I have to walk away.
It's a trigger.
Totally walk away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know a few years back, we used to go down to Atlantic City from guys from work and girls from work and stuff. And I would make sure my car had a full tank of gas. And at that time, there was quarters that you put into the parkway. I'd make sure that there was quarters in the little dish in the front. I left all my credit cards home. I kept X amount of dollars. I forget what it was. Maybe.
Oh, you had a plan. You put a plan
$100
in place.
Okay.
Yep.
If I blew $100, that was it. I didn't do anything else because I couldn't, you know, I had no credit card or anything with me. You know, all I had was the quarters for the parkway to go home. But that was because of my addictive personality.
Yeah.
I would have lost the house and everything else if I didn't. So, well, and that's why I never went that often. We only went once in a while. Amy, what do you do there now? I mean, you're learning, I'm assuming, correct?
Always, every day.
Okay. Yeah. And what are you trying to focus, what are you focusing on?
Our main focus is to bring attention to the heroin epidemic in Hunterdon County and New Jersey. The overdoses in New Jersey are triple the rate of the national average. People are dying every day. And it's really an issue of stigma and getting these people help and realizing that it's not just the other person. It's your friends, your family, your neighbors. It's affected a larger demographic than we've ever seen before in New Jersey. And to bring this attention and to, you know, reconcile with the fact that there is help. You know, you can recover. And we're trying to provide you know, education and prevention for this issue.
Amy brings up about New Jersey. Just to give you an idea of where Hunterdon County is as far as the heroin overdoses, in our county alone, we're more than doubled the number of overdoses from last year to this year. We're surpassing that. We're not even at the end of the year yet. Interesting and an alarming issue. I don't know if you happened to catch the 60-minute program where a few weeks ago they did a piece on Ohio as far as the heroin epidemic, and they were saying something like 60 for every man, woman, and child in that state, that 60 prescriptions of opiates could cover. So recently we had someone investigate for the state of New Jersey that in the 8.9 million people we have back in 2014, again, estimating our numbers we had in New Jersey, that every woman, man, you know, and child would have gotten, but with the number of opiates that were prescribed, 27 each. So what does that mean, right? When we talk about, well, okay, so what if someone's not understanding what that is? If you're addicted to an opiate pain medicine, you're 40% more likely, 40 times more likely to become a heroin addict. It affects the same region of the brain. Uh-huh. What happens to these individuals where their bodies, and they start for many different reasons, and we can definitely touch on how and why that happens with the opiate pain meds. But what happens is it becomes too expensive. They don't have access to these drugs anymore, right? As we're working on disposal, also the prescription monitoring program here in the state of New Jersey, where we're trying to watch where, in case people are doctor shopping, looking for these drugs. Well, what happens is then these pills on the street could be $20 a piece, $30 a piece, depending on what its, you know, milligrams are, mm-hmm. right? There's a bag of heroin you can get for $5.
Right. Exactly.
So it becomes, and because of the purity rates here in New Jersey, there's a lot of stigma, right? People that start off with these prescription pain meds, they don't view themselves initially as someone who's addicted or a drug mm-hmm. addict.
Right.
This is something that was prescribed. But what then happens is the purity is so high in the state of New Jersey, you can snort the heroin. And so as they snort it, they still aren't seeing because they're not injecting. And their addiction grows in that.
That's right.
So then they move to the injecting.
You know, what's being done about it locally?
Well, I tell you, it is, I think we are incredibly fortunate here in Hunterdon County that there's so many collaborative ways that we are trying to work together. And our first is our Safe Communities Coalition. We are looking constantly at ways to support policy change. Some of the things that we did, for example, back in 2013, we went and testified down in Trenton at a really encouragement about the Overdose Protection Act. I tell you, for everyday citizens that have never done this, it was a bit intimidating. I will tell you to go into a court to testify in front of a committee on why they should pass this law. The Overdose Protection Act really has saved hundreds and hundreds of lives since it was passed, because people who need help can reach out, call 911, receive help, and receive amnesty under the law. That is significant. It has kept people alive. And what we work as our coalition for something called START, which is Steps to Action, Recovery, and Treatment. We're actually just starting a brand new program. It used to be for only people who were arrested on any type of drug offense. We're also partnering with the ER here at the medical center. Okay. And anyone that comes in with any, whether be from law enforcement themselves and any type of overdose, will receive the information about how to get into treatment, how to get the help they need. In fact, Amy, why don't you talk a little bit about the special hotlines that New Jersey created?
Right. So the NJ Connect for Recovery, their number is 855-652-3737. And it's meant for people who are suffering with addiction, as well as friends and family, to reach out. They provide referrals for mental health, a variety of mental health and behavioral facilities, mm-hmm. counseling. And it is really an amazing resource, especially for Hunterdon County and New Jersey in general. You can get into treatment within a couple days. They work with you. They have insight into insurance companies, and they do everything that they can to help facilitate you into treatment and recovery.
And this is very specific, by the way, for New Jersey. That line that Amy just mentioned, it's dedicated to opiate addiction. So opiate addiction is different than, say, where they're addiction to coke, to marijuana. It's how you detox from alcohol. It is very different. The other thing that we've been working with law enforcement in our community is with Narcan. Narcan is a, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, Larry, right? Yeah. I think we've talked about it before here, is it's a way, in fact, our law enforcement here, working in partnership with our prosecutor's office, also the Hunterdon Medical Center, they do a tremendous job of trying to make sure that they have, you know, feet on the ground, people getting to these people quickly, because you can reverse an overdose. Mm-hmm. But I must emphasize, only if you get there in time.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's only an opiate. Narcan, which is naloxone, they have it in nasal format. They also have it in EpiPen now, and right. also injectable. They and again, not everybody, depending on what also is mixed in with whatever drugs that they were using. So it's not necessarily prevention, but it's a way to help save a life and hopefully get those people into treatment.
Right. I know we being NAMI and the 20 years that I've been involved in it, have seen so often somebody with a mental health issue mm-hmm. who also has alcohol or drug addiction. And, you know, their families say, well, why? Well, it could be a number of reasons, actually. Mm-hmm. One of them is that the opiate or the heroin or the alcohol quells the mental health issues that they're going through mm-hmm. or the pain that they're feeling in their head or body. You know, up until, I don't know, almost a year ago now, I used to work Saturdays, 5 hours at emergency services at the medical mm-hmm. center. And I go to what is their lockup unit, 2 Central, and I would talk to the patients. And because I was a parent and not just the suit coming in to talk to them, it got across to them a little bit. Because mm-hmm. I would explain that my son was hospitalized for almost 3 years and suffers from mental illness and schizophrenic and so on and so forth. This one young man said to me afterwards, he said, can I talk to you? I said, sure. We went outside and we were talking. He took his shirt sleeves and he rolled it up past his elbow. There wasn't a piece of skin on his arm, front, back, on both of them, that wasn't cut, that didn't have scars on them. And he was saying that the pain from the cut took away the pain.
Release. It was a
release from to the pain that he had in his head.
Yes.
And it's just like, I was like, whoa, really? Yeah. You know, and I can understand that. I can totally understand that, you know.
Well, and you know, a lot of people, that's something though, Larry, a lot of people can't understand, because it doesn't, what you just explained seems rational to an everyday person, but to somebody that is well aware of that condition called cutting, it makes perfect sense.
Right.
So so how do we help these people? I think one of the first things that we've been doing, and we've been doing this, by the way, for over 2.5 years, is really raising the awareness and education. You can't solve a problem unless you know you have one. We created a Pills to Heroin documentary. It's a 14-minute documentary. It's on our website. We launch it through our schools. We have many different launches in our community, through churches, mm-hmm. through any places that really want us to come deliver it. But this 14-minute documentary really explains how people start their addiction on prescription drugs and moves it to heroin. We emphasize this isn't just about education, it's about taking action. People will often say, well, I don't have anybody that's addicted. I feel really bad for those people, and they move on in their lives. So, well, this film also emphasizes about cleaning out your medicine cabinets, because right. that's what everybody can do. What can you do to help with this heroin epidemic? education, and cleaning out your medicine cabinets. Everyday person really can help with that. We're also partnering up with the ROC, which is the Regional Operations Intelligence Center. It's quite unique here in the state of New Jersey and quite very impressive, actually, with law enforcement really analyzing, looking to see how heroin is being trafficking in our state, where it's at, where our citizens go. What does this information do? Is it helps law enforcement. It helps go after those that are dealing in our state. The one thing that I think is really phenomenal about, again, our state, and just listening recently at our fall professional conference, which our attorney general mentioned, we have great compassion for people in our state with who have addiction. We will give them the help they need. We have a phenomenal drug court program where that person gets the opportunity, right, to address their addiction, but not for the people that are selling and harming and getting more people addicted. Mm-hmm. There's a great distinction there. So we're really about compassion and helping people. But again, in order to make it awareness, now I want to take you back, if I can, when we talk about this timeline of addiction. Rarely is it, I'm just addicted on prescription drugs and I move right to heroin, right? That's a path. But when I talk to many folks that are in recovery, and I talk to people who are experts in treatment, and I ask them about their marijuana use, all right, I've not come across one person, not one, that does not use pot and have gone to heroin. So when you want to look at paths, right, you don't just jump to heroin.
Right, right.
Again, recently talking to people who've been through drug court, some people have to go through a few times. And I'm going to talk about, Amy and I are going to talk about our options and how we're going to solve some of this to limit it, hopefully, to only one time with some ideas that we have. But there's a common thread when you talk to people who are in recovery is that they've all used marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
They all started with alcohol, marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a lot of times while under the influence of marijuana, moved to something else. And they all had trouble coping. When you come down to really of why there's relapse, you can look at many different scenarios or trigger points that have started it, or why somebody went down this path. It comes down to there's something that they couldn't handle or they couldn't cope anymore, that they needed to manage their pain, whether and most of it emotional pain.
Yeah.
And so coping. So that's some of the other things that we're doing as an agency. In fact, Amy, I don't know if we can start talking about this brand new idea that we have coming out called the recovery.
We have to take a break, but okay. You can do that when we come back.
Great.
But real quickly before, you know, someone was saying not too awful long ago, a bunch of us were talking, and a friend of mine is a state police trooper,
mm-hmm.
Was there, and this one individual said, "This is Hunterdon County. We don't have gangs."
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "What?" He says, "You may not see gangs with the black leather jackets and the headbands and motorcycles and stuff like that." Mm-hmm. He says, "But you'll see them in suits and ties." He says, "And they're still Hell's Angels. And they're still Bloods. And they're still dealing drugs. And they're right here in the county."
There's an arrest
and it's
every
just
day.
Like,
you know what, Larry? There's an arrest every single day in Hunterdon County and Somerset and our surrounding every single day for illegal trafficking of prescription drugs.
Right.
And heroin, obviously,
right.
Illegal, right? Every single day there's an arrest. We get trafficking reports. It's here every day.
Yeah, exactly.
And there would be more arrests if we had more resources.
Mm-hmm. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a six-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have with us Leslie Gable, who is the co-executive director of Hunterton Prevention Resources and project director for Safe Communities Coalition. We have with us Amy Menes. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
All right. That's two for two. I'm getting better. who is with the Safe Community Coalition and does outreach and
education.
And just about anything that Leslie tells her to do.
Oh, it's not like that. Just a little.
Something like that.
Just a little.
But all right, Leslie, you wanted to talk about the marijuana and...
I did. You know, there's a lot of talk around, you know, the country right now that it's not so bad.
Yeah, make it legal.
But there is more people, by the way, if you want to look at incarceration across the United States for troubles around alcohol than there are illicit drugs. And, you know, there's this that everyone gets, you know, caught with a little bit of marijuana and you're putting them in jail and they're not doing anything. And, here's what I come back down to. If you need a joint, if you need a drink to cope and manage, because you can't do that without, it's a problem. Whether it's legal, illegal, you have a problem that you need help with. Because eventually what you're doing won't work, and you increase that use, right? Because people like to draw the analogy, well, what's the difference if somebody needs a beer at night or a glass of wine or they're using a joint? The difference is no difference, is that they need it in order to relax, they need it in order to manage whatever's happening to them. So I want to talk about, when we're talking about the marijuana today on the streets and what kids are using them for, and that's how this addiction timeline starts. It's not just a joint anymore of what they're doing. You want to look to Colorado and you want to look to what's happening. By the way, there's more kids addicted to marijuana in use in Colorado because of their legalization. Now, they'll say you have to be under 21. That's not what's happening. Kids can get access, easier access, because if someone right over 21 hands it right down to them, they market, by the way, in gummy bears, in Pop-Tarts, in all things that a kid would want, lollipops and candies and soda. They're marketing to the younger, just like they do to any other type, whether it's tobacco, right? They're selling and marketing so they can create.
Well, it's any
an
other. This just happens to be marijuana. I mean, it could be anything. You know, the way they market it,
yes.
It could be coffee. It
but
could be you know candy bars.
Right,
but
they're, not supposed to,
but
the
they're doing
point,
it for marijuana.
Right, but the whole point,
you know,
though, Larry, is they're not supposed to be marketing. Or and that they were going to make this safe because it was going to be over to people over 21 so they could be safe, that they would make good decisions to be safe. That's not what's happening.
No.
And let's look at our state in New Jersey. Why do we need one more thing that our youth can get their hands on legally? Because they already look at this prescription drug issue as it must be safe because a doctor has recommended it. And, you know, immediately I'm just going to take it off the table about medical marijuana. Our coalition, our agency, 100 in Prevention Resources, firmly stands behind. Do the research. Get the medicinal purposes that you need from anything to help somebody that is ill. We have no concern. In fact, we would love to see more dollars. All this money put into people's pockets about trying to legalize and grow to make it a business, just like the tobacco industry. Why not put it into the research to truly help the people that are ill? I'm dumbfounded by the way that our country is looking at this. Is why aren't we doing that? Why do we spend so much money marketing, you know,
right,
on this issue and debate? The other thing I'll tell you is we didn't legalize opium to get the benefits of morphine, right? So why are we trying to do the same thing with marijuana? Why are we legalizing it? And they talk about the ill and the children. Well, then get them into so we know the studies to have them be safe with what they need from a medical standpoint. The fact is that kids nowadays are in a much more stressful world and have access and knowledge to things that, Larry, we didn't have. I can't throw Amy in there because she's a lot younger than us. Yes. You guys can't see the listening world, but she's a lot younger than Larry and I. So... that's where a great concern. You know, someone recently said, you're doing a lot of work in prevention around marijuana. People are dying of heroin. In that timeline of prevention, that's where it's starting. I have parents say, oh, thank God that they're only using pot, that it's not heroin. You ask any of the people that are in
our
around
drug courts, the while, Mom, it'll get the heroin,
yeah.
You know.
And so some of the other things, too, to mention, like warning signs, parents, things to look for. Recently, we had someone, very brave, by the way, we did a community conversation where we had someone in recovery speak. And one of the first things she did, Larry, by the way, was thank law enforcement. She thanked law enforcement for arresting her, putting her in jail, and then she got the opportunity to go into recovery through drug court. And she said she's the reason today she gets to have her son and to be in recovery and to have a job and to work forward towards a great life because of law enforcement. They're often not given that recognition. Law enforcement was the ones that told her that she had more to live for than these drugs.
Right.
She also was very helpful in really starting to open the conversation about warning signs. Like, for example, she mentioned the bottle caps to water bottles, right? She said, you see a lot of those bottles around and they're not really drunk and they have all these caps in places. That's where people mix their heroin in, is the bottle caps, right? So if you're seeing a lot of bottle caps, you're seeing a lot of Q-tips and cotton balls. So I said, why? What is that? Well, that's a filter for the heroin, right? When they're wanting to get it in the injectable form, they're trying to filter it to be as pure as possible. And also, addicts, by the way, eat a lot of sugar, heroin addicts. And here's the straw, emphasize this. Larry, I love sugar too. It doesn't mean if you're eating a lot of candies or anything really sweet all the time that you're a heroin addict. It's the puzzle you've got to put together. Someone wearing long sleeves, they said. I said, well, long sleeves like in the summer. I said, well, they're covering track marks. They said, no, because a heroin addict, if they're any type of withdrawal, they're cold. They're going to feel like they have the flu. They are going to be in body temperatures that are different than the people that are around them. Their pupils are pin-like. They're very different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the behaviors, all these types of behaviors that really start to build the puzzles together. And I will strongly tell any parent that has any concern about their teen, if something has changed, they've lost friends, got a new set of friends, or any of those things I've just kind of described, it doesn't mean right away that there's a heroin addict, but there means there's something going on. They need to have right. that conversation, spend a little bit more time investigating, asking multiple questions, and especially if there's a lot of packages arriving to them that they don't know what they're ordering, because a lot of the access also comes through the internet.
Yeah, I had two young ladies on who were both in recovery, and one was out of the program and on her own, and the other one was still in the program. The one that was still in the program had been in it three times. This is the third time,
yes.
You know, and she swears that this is going to be the last.
Yeah,
you know, and I hope she's right. You know, but it was interesting to hear them. You know, the one that was in the program wants to do it so she can get her children back. And, you know, out of child services and so on and so forth. And, you know, so it was very, very interesting. You know, it's.
Well, I asked, by the way, I asked this question of people in recovery. And by the way, again, you know, very courageous to really sit down and talk with somebody like myself asking you, but I don't understand, if you got hit with Narcan a few times and they saved your life, why'd you go back again? Or to the, why are you, did you go through drug court three times to, you've been in rehab 26 times. Like, you know, why,
right.
why was the last time? Which one of them worked and why? But here's what, again, I've been piecing together as we're trying to find anything we can in recovery and in prevention to build this. So the strength that they don't relapse is that they develop coping skills for themselves. And that sometimes in drug courts or a recovery program that they might be a part of, is they're doing it for something else. They're not doing and learning those skill sets for themselves as an individual to cope. Sometimes, whether it be to respond to a probation officer or to say, for example, and I'm not ever saying that this is the case of the person you were speaking about, but sometimes they're doing it to get to another point, and they've never built those skills of self-comfort, you know, ways to cope in difficult situations. And I will also say it's quite difficult for people who have a record and who are in recovery to get a job.
Oh, yeah.
And to have a stable job so they can start building the stability to get their life back. And it's a challenge, and I understand why employers, that in some cases it's a risk, but I also think it's a shame when people have truly demonstrated and they're in true recovery that we don't find opportunities, especially in our community, to welcome them and give them that direction.
That made it out, she's an accountant. You know, went and got her thing and, you know, her degree and everything, and she's got her own business. She says because it would be too hard to work for somebody else because, you know, first of all, they wouldn't hire me.
Right.
And second of all, she's my own business, I'm my own boss, you know. And understandable, so, you know.
Maybe we could... in fact, and Amy, tell you something that has come from 100 Prevention Resources in partnership with our Family Success Center, which is here in town, that helps connect families to services and helps them for many different things. To our coalition, again, that I don't think we ever explained, our coalition is a drug and alcohol prevention coalition made up of so many volunteers across, that we're all coming together to build something called the Recovery Center. So maybe, Amy, you can talk about that.
So in addition to, you know, developing coping skills, it's always really great and important to set up various safety nets for yourself, including a strong network of sober people, doing different activities and learning and continuing your recovery. This Hunterdon County Recovery Center is going to open at the end of December. We have a GoFundMe page at GoFundMe.com/HC Recovery Center. It's going to be open Wednesdays 5 to 10 and Saturdays 1 to 11. We're going to have so many great things to do there. We have NA and AA meetings, family recovery groups, a drug response team, peer-to-peer support groups, recovery workshop, mindfulness and fitness, stress management, employment services, and a recovery plan support meetings. These are all really vital things to include in a recovery plan to continue sobriety.
Are they going to be in Flemington?
Flemington at the Family Success Center.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Amy.
It's at 87 Park Avenue in Flemington.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if people haven't been to our Family Success Center, it really is a very home-like environment. It's a way that we want people who are in recovery, people who a place for them to go for support. This is not, I emphasize, it's different from a treatment, right? When people go to groups for treatment, this is really a place of support. Mindfulness, by the way, is really a something that's kind of really exploding across the country about treating many different types of things. But mindfulness is even about meditations, about ways to, and initially when someone mentioned that to me, like, well, Leslie, you know, you need to just take a deep breath and you need to, and I'm like, oh, how the heck is that going to help me fix something, right? And I really, and this was a few years, you know, a few years back, and I really couldn't get myself around saying, I don't understand about this yoga or, you know, any type of meditation. I really didn't see how that was going to do anything until, unfortunately, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I can tell you that I worked with somebody who really helped me in mindfulness and a way to learn to take those breaths when, whether you're in pain or whether you're having trouble coping. It's not an easy thing to do. It's something that is a learned skill. It's a skill that, of training the mind. And it's a way also to truly help people in recovery. It's a method of coping that really has not been, it's been around for, gosh, forever, but really never taught in the mainstream of about management and coping. And I'm here to tell you for myself, I still, it's a skill set you have to practice all the time. You can't just go, okay, oh, I need it today. It's something that we need to practice and ritualize, and this is something that we want to start doing out of our recovery center.
Right.
And by the way, the hospital, I should mention this too, Hunterdon Medical Center, I know, is doing a lot of initiatives too around mindfulness. That's something that I recently heard at a meeting.
Right. Where did you come up with this idea?
Well, you know,
or who came up with this idea?
Well, I will tell you, we're very fortunate. Our co-executive director over at Hunterdon Prevention Resources, Karen Whitico, who's been in our,
a long time,
right? She's been in the community. She's really worked in many different avenues in prevention. She also does a lot of counseling, and is in charge and runs the part of our agency of our Family Success Center. We've come really around a lot of this community conversation around heroin, you know, and what else is missing in our community. And our we've really, you know, through her work, through conversations with people in recovery, is we really needed to expand this idea. And she really has, you know, we actually are fortunate too to have some interns from Rutgers University and some people who are in recovery in drug courts, people who volunteer to help develop this this concept. And they go out in the community. They've put together, by the way, you can find it, as Amy was talking about, on also on our Facebook. And they created this Facebook page, and it is a it's the facebook.com, but it's HC Recovery Center. And they created a public service announcement, and I will tell you, they put this together themselves, people who are in recovery, the faces of recovery. I don't think we see that enough. We don't know what recovery looks like, and I will tell you right now, these folks have been brave to show me what their mugshots look like, to the way that they look today. They look like two different people. Mm-hmm. And people in recovery need to be welcomed back into our community and need to be given that chance. And it is a serious problem in our state, in our county. It's not going away. And if we don't do something different than what we're doing now, people are going to keep relapsing. And it's really part of our primary prevention of all these entities and people working together. We've already had some people volunteer. You know, we don't have any funds, by the way. There's no grant for this idea. So that's why we're starting a GoFundMe page. We have had many professionals volunteer to say, Leslie, you tell me when, you know, we'll be there. I'll come. I'll do some programs for you. You tell us what you need. So that's kind of what we're really looking to try to expand and support.
Okay. Amy, I'm assuming men and women can go to the recovery center?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is a place of welcoming
of feeling at home and being with your peers, no matter what age or sex or anything.
Okay.
It's all about inclusion.
Okay.
Stigma free.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. You know,
we've got about 2.5 minutes. Is there anything you want to cover in the last couple minutes? If not, I have a question.
Well, you go ahead with your question, because you know, Larry, I could talk forever.
Crime Stoppers.
Oh, Hunterdon, yes.
County. That's mm-hmm. still around, right?
It is. And you know what? Thank you, Larry, for mentioning that. I actually just handed over my chairmanship. I've been chair of Crime Stoppers for the last 3 years. I just handed my chairmanship over to a gentleman named Chris Camasco. And I'm still on the board. I always tell them they can't get rid of me.
Not that easy, anyway.
That easy. But, boy, let me tell you something about Crime Stoppers. When we started, right, the initiative was to be able to give an anonymous way for people to communicate
right.
tips, right, whether right. it be through a text, whether it be
right.
through
phone call,
right. email, right, many, many different ways. One of the things that we didn't intend that it wasn't our intention, right? That's really nationwide. And we were doing a real good job. But what was really interesting is listening to the law enforcement officers tell us that we've gotten tips and went into a home. People, most of these tips, by the way, have to do with narcotics.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to help the unintended victims, which were children. That were children that needed help and needed right. services and needed to be in a safe place. It wasn't something as a board, you know, that was going to be something we realized that we were able to start helping some of these children in our community where their parents or their caregiver had this, you know, issue right. with narcotics and really needed additional help to get it stopped.
Right.
So we're very proud that law enforcement does the job that they do. We were very fortunate that this Crime Stoppers program, we've just celebrated our third annual fundraiser about 2 weeks ago. Some of the things that is difficult for us to communicate into the community is how successful we really are. The reason why is if we lead to say, hey, we just, you know, paid out on the tip that led to this gentleman or this right. lady's arrest, they're going to somehow know, in some cases, very clearly who gave them the
right,
tip. So
right.
we need to protect those
sure,
the people that provide those tips, because we're not going to, you know.
Absolutely.
And I will tell you, we've put in some bad people away.
Well, that's a good thing.
It
and
is.
Crime
a good
Stoppers
thing.
Is still going on. So even though you're not chairman of the board anymore,
no.
you know. But,
no, some great people on our board. Our board works, you know, really all volunteers.
Right.
And we partner with the Hunter County Prosecutor's Office and the Chief of Police, and we couldn't be thankful enough for the work that they do.
Well, I can't thank both of you enough for coming. The time just flew by, as it usually does.
Yeah.
But, again, real quickly, if someone wanted to reach out, what was the number?
Our phone number is at 908-782-3909. You can also find
website.
Us at safecoalition.org. And also, I just want to mention again our GoFundMe page, which is HC Recovery Center.
Well, we thank you so much, and we hope you both have a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, same to you.
Don't eat a lot of turkey. I won't, because I don't particularly like turkey, but, you know.
I like the sides and dessert.
Yeah, I like the sides and dessert myself. We'll see you again next week, same time. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. Take care.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. Five more suspects with possible terrorist ties are in custody following a series of raids in the Belgium capital of